already been given is I've been asked to remind the brethren of, they wish copies, CDs or whatever, of the convention. There's a sheet at the back, I believe, to put their name down for what you would like. So avail yourself of that. We would, of course, as well, like to thank very much everybody who has been involved with the work, their labor, especially the North Saskatchewan Bible students for their labor of love and arranging this and all the work that has been done, and for everyone in all aspects with the musical accompaniment, the helping with the food, and just the general love and care that the friends have showed one to another in so many small ways. Appreciate that. And so far as the Echoes side goes, I'm not really that familiar with doing that side of things. So here's a thought that I've had, and I don't mean to put the friends on the spot. So what I was thinking of approaching it with is that to go back to each one of the services and to give the elder who did the service just a couple of minutes to relate what was their main thought that they were wishing to express. Now, obviously... That's possible. This one here. Okay. Someone could handle that. So I'll have to practice what I preach since I was first up. But I thought that might be one way to handle it instead of with my faulty memory perhaps of remembering what it was. If we could just take just a couple of moments for what was given to say what was your intention and what was the main thought you would like to have the friends come away with. So the first one was myself with the New World Order, Part 1. And essentially what I was trying to do was just to look into the scriptures, because there are so many that give details of the kingdom and what will be. And the thought was to try and bring these together in some order to stir up the friends' minds to look into these things and to show that there really is so much there that is a blessing for us to look at. And while it was mentioned there was a little bit of speculation, and that was just to stir up the friends' minds as well, not to give this is the way it will be, but to show that there are many positive statements, many definite things, and to look at it from the two aspects of the texts that say what will be, and then also to look and see if we have any examples of how the Lord did things that might give us further indication as to how he will do things again in the kingdom. And part one looked at the religious aspect and the political aspect to show that there were definite scriptures that gave what will be expected, some of the order of what it will be, very, very definite things that we could look at. In a lot of cases, no speculation. There were thus saith the Lord statements that this is how it's going to be. So that was what we had from the first one. I guess we're still waiting on our mic. Whether that or it's better for them to roam.
If you get this one to me.
Okay.
And then you can use this one.
Okay.
You'll have to give me a moment to do that, so don't back me.
Okay, so we're getting the technical in order, and I believe up next was Rebecca. Jerusalem. Just a quick reminder to us, Brother Ed. What is it from the message you were giving?
I couldn't help but note that the Bible, as I've spoken of, 548 times Jerusalem appears in the Old Testament and 148 in the New. And the fact that there's got to be some significance to it. The name itself and the simplicity of it, the Jeru trodden down, and also the using was threshing floor, and Salem, which is peace. that you put those two together and you got a history of the old Jerusalem and the new. I think the picture is beautiful. That here we have the old Jerusalem trodden down, and yet the promise, the time is coming when they shall live in peace. Beautiful. You take the new Jerusalem, and what do you have? The followers of Christ, with Christ ahead, all suffering, and Christ's words that kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence taketh by source. And that indeed, the suffering was necessary, the filling up the afflictions of Christ, which has to do with that which has followed with Christ in you, the hope of glory, that here we have they who are part thereof at peace, and they, Christ, the Prince of Peace, and the church as a whole, if you want to look at it as the Prince of Peace, here we have Salem, peace. Peace on earth is brought through the new Jerusalem. So here we got that which is a matter of the old Jerusalem and the new Jerusalem, the fleshly Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, and you could go on and on. And to me, I think that is so precious. And again, as I spoke of, I'd love to hear that hymn. I think it's a holy city. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And I can't forget, remember that, what follows it. But it does something to me. And surely, just bringing that out, the two, the old and new, and what, how God uses it, that's His plan. It's all right there. The world, mankind have trodden down. But the Lord has promised peace. So you can go as far as you want with it. To my mind, I just wanted to share it with the brethren.
And the next one up was Brother Lawrence on God's Kingdom Project. So would you like to give us a couple of moments, quick synopsis on that? I know there's a lot involved, but just what would be the main thought to have the brethren come up?
Do you want me to start at the beginning or the middle? Well, brother, it's been quite a few years from these turning point dates, these good solid dates of 1799. 1874 and 1914, and I wanted to just try to give a perspective that God's Kingdom Project is a process, and it's gone on much more gradually than anticipated, but it has gone on very surely. And as Habakkuk says, if the vision seemed to tarry, wait for it.
And then I believe up next was Brother George Wilmot on Revelation 14:13. So, Brother George, if you would, a quick synopsis of.
Thank you, Brother Wayne. Our desire in this text was to point out that we are in the dawning of the resurrection age, the beginning of the millennial age, the beginning of the restitution age, and to the fully consecrated who die in the Lord, death is a blessing. And we pointed out that those who put the millennial age into the future are robbing themselves of this precious promise. If we do not feed upon the precious promises, we cannot be partakers of the divine nature. It was also our desire to point out that there is kingdom work to be done because the king is present establishing the spiritual phase of the kingdom. Those who are engaged in this kingdom work will have this same work now with laborious efforts continue on the other side of the veil without the laborious efforts. And so we encouraged the brethren to be active in proclaiming Thy God reigneth.
Thank you, Brother George. And then I believe next was Brother Barry on the baptismal discourse. Would you just like to give a couple of things to put it home again?
Well, I always think that the heart of a convention is the opportunity to bear witness to someone or someones who have made that covenant by sacrifice with the Lord and desire to take the step into the steps of our Lord Jesus. And I very much appreciated the privilege here of sharing with the brethren the information that we have heard before, but which renews in us every time we hear it what our walk is about. And particularly it was a great blessing to have seen one such as Shane being drawn of the Lord, doing a lot of searching before he contacted us. And that path of searching was really the leading of the Lord. And it makes me so thankful that our Heavenly Father is still finding one here and one there. He is no respecter of persons, but He draws these jewels who will be to His great honor and glory in the fulfillment of the restitution of all things and bringing, helping to bring mankind back into harmony with God, that every character trait, every personality that is represented in the little flock will be useful because each has perhaps a different way of learning, a different way of understanding, but it's all the same truth. And for one to be drawn and fitted into that 144,000 is the greatest gift that will ever or has ever been given. So I'm thankful that we have a new brother in Christ. I'm thankful for the scripture that says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He exists, and that He is eternal, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I think each one of us, whether we are one day into our consecration, 2 days, 2 weeks, 3 months, 10 years, 50 years, we must continue diligently seek Him. And He will fulfill His promise to us. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, this is the apostle speaking, yet now, henceforth, know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And every morning that we wake up, we should remember this scripture. All things have become new. And each day look for greater communion with the Heavenly Father, ways to be used in His service. And so may the Lord bless all of us in that direction, the renewal of our vows as well as Brother Shane's first steps into this new walk.
Sit down. You also did the testimony meeting. Is there anything you wish to share on that? I know it's just a testimony meeting, but...
It's a great privilege to be able to stand among those who are also walking in the same direction and in the same path, and to share your joys and your sorrows, your needs for their prayers, all of these things, we should never be ashamed. This is a wonderful fellowship, and we have every privilege of having that fellowship increased through knowing that our brethren will hold us up before the Lord each day in prayer. And I appreciate Brother's thought here. That should be by name, by experience, as much as we know. And you know, when you do that, you also are blessed. You feel a communion more closely with that, with our dear brethren. So as part of testimony, we should never use it as an advertising or anything else, but simply, how am I doing? How are others doing? This is my experience. I want to share it with you of how it has helped me to grow. And pray for each other individually.
Okay, well, thank you. And I want to backpedal a little bit there. We use the word just, and I didn't mean in any way to belittle testimony meetings. They're very blessed things, but more from the point of view that we usually don't go into them with a theme, except for the theme that you mentioned of taking the opportunity to share one with another, to encourage and to be a blessing one to another, and perhaps even look for the help. Next, I believe we had was Brother Greg Carpenter, counted worthy.
Yes, brethren. To be quite frank and honest, my initial motivation for preparing this discourse was, in a way, and I'll be very frank, a concern over my own weaknesses and what could empower my own faith more thoroughly, and therefore what could empower the brethren's faith more thoroughly. And the idea that's central to the topic is that the gospel message is a reality. It's not a story. It's not a Bible story merely. It's a reality. For example, when the scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, they questioned his authority and his testimony, and Jesus said to them, if you cannot accept my testimony, believe me for the work's sake. What Jesus did and said is a reality. The gospel message and who Jesus is a reality. And the Heavenly Father overruled that there would be credible witnesses to all that Jesus said and did, and that they would be used to convey that truth and the reality of those things to those who would believe thereafter. And we have not followed fables, stories, contrivances, somebody's mere imagination, but we are following the gospel message of the actual Messiah of the world. And the apostles were greatly empowered when they more thoroughly realized that the one that they put their hope in initially after Jordan was in fact the Messiah, and the resurrection proved this. And their empowerment at Pentecost proved this, in that now what they have seen and what they have heard and what they have handled of the word of life, they have declared unto us. And that now it is our privilege to be empowered through the Spirit and through the knowledge to go forth and be blessed in faith. As our Lord said, those that have seen were blessed, but how much more blessed in a certain respect are those who have not seen and believed. And so it was a message of empowerment and of vitalizing more thoroughly the reality of the realization of what we believe in.
Thank you. And I believe we're now back to Brother George Wilmot for the Sons of God.
This lesson was on the Sons of God. We endeavored to analyze some of the thoughts in the first three verses of 1 John, the third chapter, just like we endeavor to do so with Revelation 14:13. We think it's a blessing to go into depth of what the apostles or our Lord told us. And sometimes we will just read the whole scripture and lose some of the beauty of it. And here in 1 John, the third chapter, verse 2, the Apostle John is telling us that now we are the sons of God. And we endeavored to trace the steps necessary to become a son of God. We endeavor to point out the necessity of repentance from sin, acceptance of Jesus, which brought tentative justification and a measure of peace, a measure of the privilege of prayer, and then the necessity of a consecration to righteous living. But still, we were not sons of God. The Heavenly Father didn't adopt us as members of Adam's family, but rather it wasn't until the time that we had made this full consecration, a covenant with God by sacrifice, giving up our hope of living here upon the earth, that the Father of His own will begat He us with the Word of Truth. And thus, at that moment, we became embryo sons of God. And to be more particular, it's only a tentative sonship. And so when we read in Romans the translation spirit of adoption, the proper translation is the spirit of sonship. You see, we were not sons previous to the Heavenly Father begetting us of the Spirit to the divine nature. And we are His sons and His daughters. And thus John plainly tells us, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." And, of course, our hope, and we express this in the closing song, face to face, our hope is to see our Lord as He is. And then John reminds us to have this hope means that we will hold the standard of truth, the banner of truth, as high as we possibly can, not only in character development, but also in doctrine. And thus, having this hope, John says that we will purify ourselves even as our Lord in pattern is pure.
Brother George, now I guess we're back to me again, finishing up the New World Order Part 2, and just to continue on there with the other two main sections of the social order and economics, and once again trying to follow the same pattern, looking at that and seeing how God's care, God's rule, His law, the examples that we have from throughout history of how He's dealt is so comprehensive to every aspect of human living. And just to look at this and to show that comprehensiveness, to his tender love and care and His guidance in all of these things, so that the most profitable, the most righteous, the most blessed rule can be had for the world as a whole and for individuals, because they do mesh together, and showing that one of the main examples, of course, from even with what happened with Israel, a law that we were told was just and holy and good, but because of fallen nature could not be fulfilled, that in the kingdom, of course, He will establish another just and holy and good law, but at the same time, people will be made perfect and be able now to live up to it and enjoy it and go on into eternity with it. So that was essentially the essence of that, again, to stir up the brethren's minds, because there is so much in Scripture on it. I think we're back now to Brother Greg Carpenter with our Vesper service.
I'll just say to that, brethren, that of course, appreciating the peace that our Heavenly Father must inherently possess is one thing that we want to appreciate more thoroughly, of course, and we realize that in our Heavenly Father obtains the highest perfections in all things, including the peace. And obviously, in proportion as we are in harmony with His Spirit, even in the midst of difficulties, we can have that peace. And we think some of the other discourses at the convention have helped to convey the fact that if we accept the conditions and circumstances of trial and difficulty with our faith and in proportion to our faith, we can have the peace as a foundational element to our experience. So it was really to encourage that we can have peace. Our Heavenly Father and Him inherits all peace. Our Lord Jesus found peace and assurance in complete harmony with the Father. And our Lord wanted to convey that peace to us as well in his promise of the Comforter, which we participate in the blessed influences of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so it is our lot and privilege to have the peace of God dwell in our hearts richly. And it's one of those things that other brethren have mentioned. If we do certain things, we can have that peace in greater proportion.
Thank you. And of course, we had that lovely tribute to Brother David Wilmot that followed, and we are very appreciative of that. And again, I'm sure on behalf of all, offer our deepest sympathy, Christian love to Brother George on that behalf. And on the other hand, as the scriptures say, do actually rejoice with Brother David for having gone to his reward. And you will see him again soon, we are sure. Okay, now we're back to today, and once again, back to Brother Buckley.
I'm getting to that age where I have to ask that question many times. And then to stop and think about the matter that even if I've lost my mind, I haven't lost my mind. If indeed, as we're told in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that the transforming of the mind, that we might have the mind of Christ, and that anything and everything that we have to do with as far as earthly things are concerned, that they must be done as unto the Lord. And the understanding, the realization of that, and trying to live that type is the thing that we have to continually, without ceasing, keep it in the forefront of our mind. That if we are to set our affections on things above and not on the things of the earth, we not only have to think about the heavenly things, but think about the things that we've been told that we should do and how we should live and how we should act, and just exactly how we can be the epistles known and read of all men that are an imitation of Christ. That is what I tried to bring out. And, well, for example, in Ephesians 2:18-22, where it's speaking about our citizenship is no longer of this earth, but it's a heavenly citizenship. And to be able to realize just exactly what that means, we are citizens of this earth. We were born of the earthy. We were born flesh. And now we're called to something higher. And seeing that is the case, then it means our citizenship is going to be transferred elsewhere. Where else? But heaven itself. This is our aspirations. It's our desire. And thus, to be able to consider that. Ah, yes. What it truly means. And then to go beyond that and consider the matter of overcoming and the matter of we have so much time and we have to manage it. We're stewards and we wind up finding ourselves making decisions all the time. We have to make choices. We have to make decisions. We have to determine what the purpose is that we have in mind, and then go therefore forth and do it. And considering Ludlow Loomis and that poem and the matter of Spiron's Hut, something that I've thought about many times, because, in the first place, When the Lord expects you and asks you to do something, you want to do it. You want to go and do that which He would have. And that it just echoes in my mind. And I think it's a beautiful illustration. And the sixth chapter of Isaiah also, lo, woe, go. Who will go? Who will we send? Who will go for us? These are things that we bear in mind as to what our journey is and what we're doing. And so I thought I could bring that out, and the fact that just simple words such as put and think, and what you can portray, and what the scriptures bring out, that this put in, put out, put down, put off, put on, over, put aside, and so on, is action. It's energy. What you're doing. And these are parts of that which are the transforming of our mind to the mind of Christ. And again, think on these things, whatsoever thing is lovely, honest, of a good report, anything with virtue, anything that is truth. These are the things that you put it all together in the consideration that, yes, we've lost our mind, if indeed we're developing the mind of Christ. And pointing, thinking, and realizing, considering continually what it means to be heavenly-minded. And sometimes we can be accused of being so heavenly-minded they're no earthly use. With me, it's getting to the point where the new technology and all the things that are brought forth, I kind of get lost in that. Lo and behold, that what shall I say? I'm led by the Lord, and I rejoice therein. And whatever happens, it happens for a reason, and for me to learn by it. And again, the learning is constantly there. The mind of Christ, to learn, to have that mind.
Thank you, Brother Edgar. We appreciate that. And what a grand bargain that is to trade our small thoughts, if you will, our imperfect thoughts, for the very thoughts of God. At this point in time, if people ask me if I've lost my mind, I say not permanently, but I'm on the frequent flyer program. Down to our last one then, Brother Kirkham again, to just give us a quick synopsis, reminder of the essence of what the message was. Hope in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Well, you just heard me speak, so hopefully you've remembered something for 1 hour, 1.5 hours. But I can't even remember. I've given the talks afterwards. I have to go look them up on my computer, and I'm always surprised I've got them there. Anyway, the theme really behind my first discourse on God's Kingdom Project and this discourse on Christ in you, the hope of glory, is really thanksgiving. It's the theme of this weekend. It's wonderful that in the United States, many years ago, there was set aside a day for thanksgiving. I don't remember that in history. Canada has a day for thanksgiving also. It's a good thing to be thankful, brethren. And I think when we look at all the blessings of the modern world that have come as a result of God's plan, we want to be thankful to God for them, the source of all blessings. So that really was the burden of both lessons. I don't know if I brought it out as I should have, but that's what I meant to convey.
Thank you, brother. So that is our echoes in the mouths of the ones who were delivering the message, and we do appreciate and thank them for that service. So now we come to the end. We have our course, Hymn 64, God Be With You, that we will close with, and then there will be a lunchtime fellowship. And as was already brought out in part, we will all be going back different routes to different destinations, and I'm sure the overall convention would like to convey their love and greetings that we can carry back with us to whomever we will meet. It's unanimous, so noted.